Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report, exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Get into the action. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities for the full hour here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And so first off, you know, I do got to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. I mean, how can you not, you know, get through the Super Bowl weekend and have some feelings about it? But I don't know if you thought that the Broncos were going to win that thing or not, but I'd actually picked that about 6 weeks ago. So I have to say that all I had to do was look at the fact that, you know, defense always wins Super Bowls, right? And so my MVP was actually going to be the running back for Denver, because I thought that's how they were going to get it done, is they were actually going to just run, defense was going to do it. But the defense was sick. I mean, that was probably one of the greatest defensive shows I'd ever seen. You know, 2 weeks before, they rattle Tom Brady. I mean, the guy was actually looked like he was afraid to get, you know, come up behind the center, as well as Cam Newton, who is definitely the future of the NFL. Peyton's due to retire. I don't care what he says. I mean, the best thing he's got to do is wander off, you know, to the pasture. And of course, you know, a nice little kiss from Papa John after the victory sure didn't help, but basically solidified his position, as well as giving some love to Budweiser. So I think we kind of know where Peyton's headed. It's just a matter of time before he goes ahead and retire. But once again, I mean, defense prevailed. And it was a great battle between, you know, the old guard versus the new guard. And, you know, so we're actually going to talk a little bit today about racing and the different forms of racing, and kind of the same theme seems to be going through that. You know, where are the new people coming from? Where are the new drivers coming from versus the old guard and what their chances? But also, you know, I was just curious, I mean, what you thought of the Super Bowl commercials? I think the NFL had one of the best with the whole ad about the Super Bowl babies. That was pretty cool. But what the heck was the deal with that baby monkey, you know, what was that, puppy baby monkey? I couldn't figure that thing out. That thing was just too weird. But anyway, I mean, you know, a lot of things. And of course, nothing says the United States, you know, like, we watch a big sporting event and all we do is, you know, talk about the commercials. But I guess the other thing I would wonder is, like, who do you think won the halftime show? I mean, Chris Martin and Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars. I mean, Beyonce, you know, got a lot of flack this week in social media, so I'm not sure if you count that as a win. But Bruno Mars is the bomb, dude. I mean, I really enjoyed watching Bruno Mars. But Chris Martin, I'm a big fan of Coldplay, but I tell you what, that was probably not the stage for them. So I'm gonna have to go with Bruno Mars on the win on that one for me. But anyway, be curious what your thoughts are on that. So let's talk a little bit about the state of racing in the United States, and you know, maybe a comparison, you know, also between the world. I mean, the U.S. seems to be very focused on oval racing. In the heyday, of course, you had the Indy 500. Nothing was bigger. It attracted people from all over the world because they wanted to show their mettle against the best in the business. And I think that was the heyday of IndyCar racing. Of course, the whole CART IRL split really, you know, kind of did some damage to that. I'm not sure they ever recovered. The Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of stock car racing, happens next weekend. And actually, we're going to be coming to you live from Daytona International Speedway. That's right. We're going to be on the stage in the fan zone in the middle of the whole thing. I'm going to join Bob Brown live during the duel. So I invite you to tune in on Thursday afternoon to the locker room and hear that. But we're actually going to the epicenter of racing in the United States, and that is still stock car racing. And, you know, it's really kind of neat how even back in the day in stock car racing, you even had, you know, names like Pernelli Jones and, you know, people from all over the world that came to race in that. But the world, racing in the world, is still defined by road racing. And regardless of what we think in the United States, The world stage is, you know, dominated by Le Mans, Formula One, MotoGP. Actually, we could learn a few things from them right now. The 24 hours at Daytona, the 24 hours at Le Mans is the world's most historic and significant motorsport sporting event. They just have 9 races in the championship. And sports car racing still, you know, has a great understanding of the whole battle between, you know, modern technology. I mean, you have cars that are diesel powered, hybrid power. I mean, Porsche, Audi, and Toyota totally understand that. It's a balance between, you know, fantasy and futuristic with their prototype cars. The P1, it's absolutely amazing. On display at the Rolex 24, you saw the return of the GT40. So you also see the legends, you know, and harken back to the battles clear back in the 60s when the U.S. was involved in production battles as well. But it was basically a convergence. Road racing and the whole Rolex 24 series and the 24 Hours of Le Mans is, you know, a combination of racing lovers and car lovers where they come together. I mean, you have cars like Lamborghinis, BMWs, Ferraris, Porsches, and Corvettes joining the prototypes all on the track at the same time. It's basically a race within a race. The Rolex 24 saw 54 different cars with 215 drivers, where people want to drive them and fans want to see them race. The overall winner was a guy, Pipo Durrani, a Corvette battle between Oliver Gavin and Antonio Garcia. Who ever heard of these guys? I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, these guys are rock stars in their own field, but nobody knows who they are. The current state of racing, you know, is where are the stars? Where are the American stars? Remember, you know, names like Andretti, Unser, Foyt, Farnelli Jones. Now, they're all Americans except Andretti, which basically, you know, he's ingrained in American culture, so he might as well be American when you mention, you know, that. But where is the youth? Where is the youth? Where is the future of the sport, motor racing sports? You know, I mean, X Games does a good job at, you know, bringing a lot of young people. But how are they translating into the other forms of racing? Video games. I mean, you can sit at home and the experience that you can have on a video game is a lot like, you know, being at the track. Now, I would have to say I haven't embraced video games quite as much, so I don't feel that. I mean, I love, you know, the sound and the smell and the track and everything that happens there, but video games have definitely kind of cut into that, especially in American culture. I mean, you know, back in the day, every kid started with a motorcycle, some motocross. You got local Jason Anderson gets no press, and he wins, you know, opening race in, you know, of the motocross season. So, you know, you look at what can we learn from MotoGP? On the local level, you got SMRI Racing running out of Sandia, and that is, one, very entertaining, and two, the drivers go out and, you know, they're exhausted, and they love the opportunity. Once again, worldwide audience. You got Valentino Rossi versus Mark Marquez. I mean, Marquez won in 2013, 2014. 2014 won the championship as a rookie. So you got that, you know, old master versus the heir apparent. And when they battled it out last year, teammate, you know, Jorge Lorenzo, you know, ended up, you know, coming and stealing the whole thing. It's the same old story. I mean, there's no American stars. And success, you know, in the making on bikes or cars is really now translated, you know, to the makes, whether you've got Yamaha or Honda or Ducati. And so, you know, I mean, I think the same is going on in racing. So where are the future stars of the sport coming from? You know, it's kind of hard to say, but to me, that's really where the state of racing is. Is stock car racing is where, you know, the majority of the Americans are, but, you know, it, not all Americans are into it. And so I think that the, you know, motorsports as we're moving along is going to really be dependent on where we're going to find those new young stars and whether they're being able to compete across platforms. Because I think that was the key, was you had, you know, a few forms of racing that were really at the top level, and then you had a local level in which a lot of other people participated. But we got a whole lot more coming up in the show, including we are going to talk some Formula One on the other side with Tom McKeon. And later we're going to talk about the EPA trying to get involved in our ability to go fast on the streets and limit what we can do to our cars because, quote, we're turning our street cars into race cars. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Hey, this is Matt Willis with ESPN.com, and you are listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Game. Hey, quick programming note for you. Coming up at 9 a.m., you got FM Sports Saturday, Fred Holberg and Marty Watts. 10 a.m., you got the Team High School Show with Gary Heron. 11 a.m., the legend Henry T. with his show live from the Library Bar and Grill on San Mateo. Join In Progress after that at 1 p.m., number 6, Kansas versus number 3, Oklahoma. And tomorrow, we're going to be carrying the NBA All-Star Game at 6 p.m., so make sure you tune in for that. We want to find out, you know, all the cool stuff that's going on around New Mexico and around Albuquerque specifically. You want to see what's going on. You want to make sure you pick up a copy of the New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine, with monthly full-color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. You can pick up your free copy at participating locations like all the Napa stores in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho. They got contributing columns such as the Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car. Find out why that has made New Mexico Rods and Rides a local favorite. As well as, I want you to make sure you mark down a calendar for next weekend. Next Saturday, from 11:30 to 2, over at Indian Motorcycle at 4509 Alameda, they're going to have the Biker Chili Challenge. Now, let me clarify. You don't have to be a biker, one, to put your chili in there. It's only $10 to enter your chili, and it's only $10 to taste and vote. So, like, $10, you can go out there and load up on some chili from 11 to 2, and it's open to anybody. I mean, both, you know, whether you cook or whether you want to just come by and taste. And because you're there, you might as well check out the latest offerings from Indian Motorcycle, including my favorite, the Scout. So you want to stop and check that out. All of the money goes to a group called Run for the Wall, and it's an event of veterans that, you know, go across the country as they transport over to, you know, of course, to see the wall. So all of the money is going to that. If you have any questions, just give them a call over there at 508-2830, and that's the first Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque's Biker Chili Challenge. You want to make sure you mark your calendar for that. All right, so joining us now from ESPN.com is Tom McKeon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, David. Great to catch up with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, let's back up a little bit. I understand that you've got some new things that you're doing out there at ESPN. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I was really lucky to get a segment producer job on Mike and Mike. So it means some early mornings for me. I'm getting up at about 2:30 in the morning every day. First week went great, though.
Well, you know what? Watching F1 probably helped you with that, because you're already kind of a little acclimated to kind of getting up earlier than the normal crowd. But congratulations on that. I mean, Mike and Mike is, you know, I mean, the number one sports talk show of all time. It's you know, on both the TV and radio platforms. Well, congratulations. What kind of segments are you going to be producing with them?
So I'm working on basically any guest that comes through, and also we have new segments with Molly Karam, who hosts First Take. So she's on from 8 to 10. You'll see her throughout interacting with the mics. So we're basically tasked with coming up with, hey, what do we want to talk about? What's interesting? It's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging, and you're right. It is perfect for those Asian races in F1, just waking up and, oh, hey, look what's on.
Well, and when we were talking, I was kind of kidding you a little bit that I mean, we in motorsports, we need to keep our fans. I mean, I went on a 4-minute rant to start this thing about the state of racing in the United States, and the whole battle between, you know, oval versus road course, and how the U.S. has kind of lost sight of, you know, the value. I mean, yes, we just had, you know, the 24 Rolex 24 at Daytona, and of course Speed Weeks, you know, officially gets underway this evening with the Sprint Unlimited. But, you know, trying to, you know, get back to the point that the world really focuses on road racing, and it really kind of all starts with Formula One. I mean, the most exotic cars in the world. And so, so don't want to lose you ever, you know, as a lover of Formula One. But, I tell you, it's really hard to be a fan with all of the politics, that goes on with Formula One. Talk a little bit about, I mean, all the turmoil that's going on right now.
Yeah, definitely. I am a diehard fan, so they're not concerned about losing me because despite my best probably my best thinking, I'm still a fan of the sport, you know. But it's the casual fan that they want to be holding on to, and I think they're losing a lot of that ground. So they're trying a lot of different things. They came up with the tire compounds this year where you can use three different ones in a race other than two. I tried to boil that down as simply as I could because it's really confusing if you start reading about it. They also have all the stuff they're trying to do for the start of 2017 with making the cars look more aggressive, getting them way more downforce. They should look really cool, but that's over a year away. It's going to be big changes, but how do you keep the viewer now? I don't know if the answer is having 21 events on the schedule. It's a lot. It's just a lot to pay attention to from March through late November. It's just such a long season.
Well, and what an interesting comment. Absolutely. Because one of the things that, you know, I was talking about was kind of, you know, the way the Indy 500 was basically positioned at a time where, you know, the month of May, people from all over the world in all different forms of racing could come over and compete in it. And I think that that's what, you know, what built the legend that's the Indy 500. You've got, you know, the Daytona 500 next weekend. And, you know, basically it's the world of stock car, but you've got 36 races. How in the world will those drivers be able to, you know, showcase themselves in other forms of racing? Where I think that, you know, over the years, why we have such legends like, you know, like the Unzers and Andretti, A.J. Foyt, is because they were able to cross over. I mean, even drag racing has gotten, their season is ridiculously long. They get started this weekend with the Winter Nationals. And I think you're right. 24 races in, you know, and 21 races in, you know, in at least 19 countries, including, you know, the one in the U.S. at COTA, you know, is in financial trouble, even though, you know, Bernie Ecclestone, when, you know, comes out and says, well, it's not in trouble. I'm gonna make sure it can happen. But he's got such a stranglehold on everything that I'm sure somebody's gonna have to step up to the coffers to pay for that. And so, it, you know, when you talk about just the length, and, you know, the flat out cost to be able to compete at that level, you know, I mean, and yet I look forward to this season and I still see, you know, it's Hamilton v. Rosberg, it's Mercedes v., you know, Ferrari, if Ferrari can make up some ground. And you know, it's in a way, you know, it's kind of more of the same. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you mentioned how it's so difficult, it might be almost impossible for drivers to cross over. We saw Nico Hülkenberg win the 24 Hours of Le Mans last year. How cool is that? But now the scheduling dates this year aren't probably going to allow that to happen, which is just mind-boggling to me that you want to be promoting drivers across different sports, and Nico just showed how you can do it last year. It was so cool. I was very engaged with that. It's so tough to make that happen now, and I just wish they had, as much as I love Formula 1, I wish they had fewer races. I just think it can be more of a competitive season when you're talking about if the schedule ended in, say, September rather than November when Hamilton locked it up, you know, in October. Sure, Rosberg won the last three races of the year while Hamilton struggled, but he already had the title locked up, so how much does that really matter?
Yeah, and that totally comes back to, you know, I mean, you can't keep America's attention. I mean, you know, we're a society full of ADD. We can turn it on anywhere and you get in cockpit, you know, you get, I mean, the coverage. As a matter of fact, I was talking to, you know, a gentleman just the other day and was talking about how good the coverage is that it's basically keeping us from going to the track. Because there's so much that you can see, there's so much that you can experience. You know, road racing, a good example, and one of the criticisms of it is the tracks, the lengths of the track. You can't see the whole track. You know, and yet that never seemed to necessarily bother me. I really, you know, if you got that good, you know, coming out of turn one or, you know, past the start finish going into turn one or something, the vantage points were always great. But it's like as Americans, you know, we tend to be, you know, so single-minded that if there's not an American, there's not an American team in it. Which is one thing that is exciting is Haas Automation, February 22nd, just right around the corner, they're going to premiere, you know, their new car. And so what do you think that, are they going to be able to compete right away or is it going to be a process?
I can't wait to see them on the grid. I haven't really had a rooting interest in a lot of different motorsports. I just love watching racing. So now that I do, I can't wait to see the car. I think it'll be a growing process for them that first year. You know, Gene Haas said they're going to make mistakes. That's going to happen. But they're taking the right steps to ensure that as few mistakes as possible can happen, partnering up with Ferrari. They're smart about that. It is a team starting from the beginning, but they are partnering with the right people to make that happen. I think a realistic goal for the first year is to just get points by the first end of the first half of the season. So by that August break, I think that would be a realistic goal. I think they can do it. And there's going to be 22 cars on the grid now, so it is a little more challenging, but they would set themselves up well. They have talent. Esteban Gutierrez from Grosjean. Grosjean, I really have liked over the years. He's really become a pretty good driver. I think he would be the best chance at getting them points by the midpoint.
So if they, and I hate to use the word struggle, I mean, because it's a billionaires club, but if they struggle for points and they struggle for, you know, good finishing position, is the American public going to lose interest by race three, by race four? I mean, how fast do they have to be successful for Formula One to actually capitalize on Haas's involvement?
Yeah, they probably need to get off to a pretty quick start to keep U.S. viewers engaged. Or they need Alexander Rossi to get this last race seat that's available, because there's only one available right now if there's 22 on the grid, and they need him to move into a good team quickly, because, I mean, let's be honest, like, I love seeing Manor out there. You know, they have struggled. Rossi has done well for them in the past, in the five races he ran last year. He out-finished his teammate, finished in a better position four of the five times. So that's a real positive, but we need to see Rossi in a really good seat to kind of, you know, get that and keep that American viewer interest among the casual fans, because you're right. I think if Haas F1 doesn't fly out of the gate with some points the first couple races, which could be completely unrealistic, but if they don't, it's going to be really hard to keep a lot of the casual fans from America interested in that team over the long term. So we'll see.
Well, what does he need to do to keep that seat?
Rossi?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's in good line to get it now. It seems like he's one of the front runners for it. But you know what? I mean, they literally come down to so much. A lot of times it is talent is the underlying storyline, and it's sponsorship, it's money, especially for those back market teams that need to have the sponsors and the money and the backing. And unfortunately, you hate to see that a lot of times, because a lot of talented drivers then don't get seats.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it really all comes down to money and sponsors. I mean, all forms of racing, it comes down to that. But the thing that really gets me with Formula One is you can have the money and you can have the sponsors, but when you've got a man at the top that seems to be basically insane, we joked about this in text the other day, where I think he's basically made a deal with the devil, and the guy can do whatever he wants, and yet it still just keeps to be rolling along. But at some point, it's not that business model can't continue to exist, and all the money and all the sponsors in the world, eventually sponsors are going to be able to find a better value somewhere else. They're going to be able to reach that market somewhere else. And, they don't seem to be interested at all as to whether, you know, they've got an American driver in the event, or, you know, even with Haas Automation, they're not making it easy for them. Perfect example is they can't seem to resolve a battle they got between Red Bull and Renault. And, you know, I mean, Renault has such a history in Formula One, and Red Bull, you know, has been that younger element, has been bringing that younger element to the sport. Now they just can't seem to, you know, get that, under control. What are your thoughts on, watching, that conflict in 2016?
Well, it made for an interesting storyline. It made for some drama towards the end of the season. Now with Renault coming back as a constructor, I think that's exciting to see those colors back in the sport. I hope it's yellow and black that they're carrying. I love that livery back in their you know, last couple of years before they went away.
So I really
do hope to see what is concerning, and what is concerning is that, you know, Leno now has a constructive team, so their efforts are primarily going to be on that. You know, Red Bull's going to come secondary. So that's even worse news than last year, where now, you know, if I told you a couple of years ago, you know, Leno was a secondary interest for an engine manufacturer, or Red Bull, that would be crazy. But it's been the case for Red Bull now, and they're going to have to, I think, probably suffer through this year, unless this Renault engine has made big time strides. You know, playing second is not going to be fun. They're going to have to maybe set their sights on 2017, when a lot of things will change. The look of the car is going to change. There's so many rule changes in 2017 that hopefully 2016 isn't a wash, but I would be betting that it probably will be for them.
So just to sum that up, they're basically going to spend $1 billion this year to hope that next year when they spend $1 billion, they're competitive. So I just summed up Formula One. Hey, congratulations on your new position, and I know that you've been a big part of this show, and you know, definitely appreciate talking some open wheel racing with you. Thank you very much for coming on this morning.
David, thanks so much. I'll catch up with you later.
All right. That was Tom McKeon, ESPN.com, and now is a segment involved with the segments with Mike and Mike. So when you listen on Saturday mornings, you know, some of that content is going to come from the brain of Tom McKeon. So I really appreciate that. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk about how our government is trying to tell us how fast we can go. They already have speed limits, but they never really said how fast we could get to the speed limit. And so we're going to talk about that on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
This is Kerry Tharp, Senior Director of Communications of Competition for NASCAR. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7, The Team.
I'm looking too desperately, but so far has not been fun.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I tell you, it's, you know, it's what, February 13th, and we're already racing. We're already talking about racing. The Winter Nationals is going out in Pomona, California right now. Top Fuel, Tony Schumacher, set a qualifying rate 3.722 at 323.66 for Don Schumacher Racing in his dragster. Robert Hight, Chevy Camaro Funny Car, 3.942 at 322.19. And Bo Butner in his Pro Stock Camaro, 6.606 at 209.43. And the interesting thing about NHRA this year is drag racing, I mean, has basically been one of the fabrics across the country in the United States that has fan involvement, to where you can directly go out and translate, you know, what you see on the track in your car. It's very cost-effective in a lot of speed shops around the country. But NHRA, as part of their new look this year, is going to have 18 of 24 races live on the Fox Sports Network, including four on premier event on Fox. And so, you got the balance between live coverage and trying to run an event and being a track, being around a track and a track operator, a lot of things can happen. And joining us right now is Jim Costa with Yearwood. How are you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. And so I was just thinking about, you know, when you have an oil down or anything at a track, you know, how sometimes it takes time to clean that up. And I could just wonder, what's the live audience going to think about something like that?
Well, they've taken a lot of steps to try to prevent a lot of excessive oil downtime. I mean, the new rules they have in place for oil retention devices. I mean, we're seeing it trickle down. I mean,
pardon the pun.
Yes. Yeah. No. Actually, no pun intended. But yeah. I mean, we actually have oil retention device rules here in Albuquerque at ABQ Dragway. So I mean, it's kind of neat to see how that happened because, I mean, like here, for example, if a guy oils down the whole track, it could be hours because we're not geared up with NHRA Safety Safari to go and clean all that up.
Well, and that makes total sense. A lot of great races, you know, coming up this season. Another 50 events out at ABQ Dragway, including you sponsor and Yearwood specifically sponsor. I mean, a lot of events, but I think one of the things that we've hit on a couple of weeks ago at Super Nationals is this whole local, you know, street racing thing and, you know, getting your car taken. But Yearwood, I mean, you guys were out ahead of the curve and sponsored Take It to the Track,
right?
In which, you know, basically go out for $20 and do some passes. Talk about what your passion is and why specifically Yearwood got involved in Take It to the Track.
Well, I mean, it I call it as wheels turn, because right now it seems like there's a lot of drama in government and everything else.
Absolutely.
Going on. We have the local law where in Bernalillo County, if you get caught drag racing twice, they will take away your hot rod. So that's a big part of, you know, one reason we want to try to help keep kids off the street. Give them the opportunity to have an avenue to enjoy themselves, to enjoy the performance that they added to their car while it's still legal. And, you know, hell, it's fun.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And apparently the government is in the business of taking away our fun. So
Working on it.
So having said that, a big break, in the news, especially all over Facebook, the headline, EPA seeks to prohibit conversion of vehicles into race cars. Now,
right.
If you think about that statement, you know, I mean, a race car under traditional definition is actually on a racetrack. Okay.
Correct.
So you've got all kinds of other rules and other safety features and other things that are involved in that. But that's not really when you get into the article and what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to relate this to greenhouse gas emissions and fuel efficiency standards for heavy-duty engines and vehicles within there. But they're basically, you know, it's an alteration, you know, to the motor. And as we've talked many times, I mean, when you take the mountains here and the thin air versus, you know, being down at sea level, and the difference when a car manufacturer builds a car that, you know, can go to any place and run, there's a natural inefficiency there that, you know, without some tuning or some customization.
Correct.
And so basically, you know, they without thinking, they're trying to, from a political standpoint, probably somebody's trying to get a vote, right? You know, because, you know, from all of the other constituents that, you know, they want to seem like, hey, they're green. They're all about, you know, saving the community. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And nothing frustrates me more than, you know, the tree huggers not understanding racing enough to say, in a way, we're more efficient.
Absolutely.
You know, we may make a little bit more noise, which we can put some caps on that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But at the same time, racing is actually pretty dang efficient. And so it's absolutely
the epitome of efficiency. That's what we do.
We try
to take a common combustion engine and increase the efficiency of it to get more horsepower, to get more air fuel ratios better. I mean, just everything. And here's the problem we have. The government, basically their law that they're throwing under the greenhouse deal, they're now touching on a $36 billion industry. SEMA Network, which is the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association, which we're part of, is now backing this and trying to get into the government so they understand they cannot do this. I mean, this is huge. So if anyone wants to get involved, I mean, go to SEMA, SEMA.org, I believe it is. Or you can go and look it up. We got links on our Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. And there's tons right now. It's all over Facebook. But go on there and vote. Show that you have no interest in this. Show that you want to, if you want to put a new air cleaner on your car, why not? I mean, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know if it's the car manufacturers that are starting this. That's my conspiracy theory of it.
I love it, yeah.
Or if it's just some tree hugger trying to get a name for himself, or maybe, you know, I don't know. It's horrible. But all I can say is the government really needs to stay out of our bedrooms. They need to stay out of our cars. They need to stay out of our lives. Stop telling me I can't, okay, let me see. I can't modify my car. I can't take my car to the track because now I can't turn my car into a race car. I can't, you know, why can't I? It's just, you know. You take care of the big guys and just leave us little guys alone.
Well, and I always love a good conspiracy because I hadn't even thought about that angle when you brought it up the other day. But the more I thought about it, the more that I could see that. Perfect example. Yesterday, I'm coming back out to the station, and a yellow jacket, SRT, you know, right there.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, huh, okay, now that car off the rack, okay, is a race car. Okay, sure. Off the rack.
Hey, like so, a Hellcat or the GT.
Exactly.
How about the new six-cylinder? I'm sorry, it's only got six cylinders. GT. But, I mean, they're building what you could consider, under this law, a race car. So if they're the only ones allowed to do it, who started it?
There's the conspiracy.
I mean, I'll tell you what, they will put us out of business.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, any, you know, the Jags, the Summits, all your mail order, everything. This is a, like I said, the quote from SEMA was $36 billion is spent in the aftermarket industry.
Well, and that's where innovation comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, all the little engineers that are sitting there, you know, working on all the new cars, you don't think they go to the track?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think that they spend billions, you know, in there?
Yeah, I want to say sometimes, is it us that also helps inspire what they do? I mean, yes, it's a trickle-down effect, but does it also trickle up?
Right.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So flip side, does this press actually help your business?
I don't know. I don't necessarily.
I know you're a numbers guy, so I don't doubt that you'll go back and find out.
I might have to go look. But I don't. You know. I guess what they say is no, or any press is good press.
Right.
So it's remotely possible that it does spark interest, especially, you know what, maybe you rekindle a fire that got put out.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm one of those people. Don't tell me what to do.
Right.
You know, and because if you tell me not to do it, I'll probably do it even more so.
Right. But in the end, I mean, you're not going out and making dangerous alterations to your vehicle.
No.
I mean, so, you know, what's the public safety angle here? You know, I mean, yes, the greenhouse emissions, and we should take our environment, you know, seriously. But, you know.
On the flip side of that, we already have emissions laws put in place. What do you care what I do to my car as long as I still pass your emissions law?
Well, and what do you basically do to an industry that, you know, has been, you know, basically, you know,
it's
following the
un-American, dude.
Exactly.
If this has been going on since the early 1900s, for Christ's sakes. We've been playing with the Model A.
Right, exactly.
For almost 100 years now.
Well, we played before that to actually create the Model A. Yeah.
Exactly. We got tired of the horse because the horse got tired. So we had to modify the horse and make it better.
And nothing was more inefficient than a locomotive, okay? You know, with the blowing, you know, of all the, you know, so we want to talk about greenhouse gases. Anyway,
yeah,
we could go on for all day. But anyway, the moral to the story is go and support your local speed shops. And you might have to go and do it now just in case some idiot says that you don't have the right. So just like going out and buying a firearm, you know, go out and buy a supercharger or a blower.
Sure. And go and vote and tell your government that you do not want them to pass this kind of stupid law. And side note, your performance ticket or practice tree race today at Eubank, 4:00.
Excellent. All right. So if you haven't ever gone out and do that,
try to take me out. I won last time, so.
Yeah. Well, should you be allowed to win?
Well, why not? I've been doing it. It's the first time I've won in like 4 years. So.
Well, and you paid your entry fee, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every time.
Exactly. All right. Hey, well, Jim, thank you for coming in this morning. I knew it was going to be lively. I knew we weren't going to have enough time, but we tried to get as much in there as we could to keep people aware. But we got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to be talking a little Daytona 500 and Speed Weeks with the Sprint Unlimited going on tonight. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Justin Allgaier. You're listening to ESPN Albuquerque 101.7, The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.17, where we started a motorsports show and then a political show broke out. So those of you that tuned in to listen to Rush Limbaugh, he's on during the week. But on the weekend, if you start messing with our cars, we're going to start getting political on this show. So just to let you know. But hey, if you want to be able to always get ESPN Radio in the local market, you like hearing your local stations, make sure you stop by Driver's Den on Eubank at Constitution. Top sound equipment by Alpine, backup cameras and Bluetooth. You can give them a call at 293-8211. They got all kinds of great things and goodies for your car. When it comes to car audio and security, there is only Driver's Den. Check them out, driversdenabq.com. As a matter of fact, the weather's starting to get really nice, so this is maybe not as much of a feature, but this keyless entry thing is absolutely amazing because I am tired of going on Facebook and another car got stolen and another car got stolen. Why not use the keyless entry, start your car, warm up your car. You can leave it outside, but someone's not going to come up and steal your car, all right? That's driversdenabq.com. Check it out. Also, now that the weather's starting to get good, you want to make sure your car looks great and you feel good about your car and cruising around. Albuquerque's most complete auto detailer is Lion Auto Detailing. They will pick up your vehicle and return it to you cleaner than when you bought it new. Showroom shine every time. Cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, motorcycles, big, small, they can do it all. Lion Auto Detailing includes a safety check to let you know that your car is good to go. Gift certificates are also available. You can call now, 266-2271. Ask for Daniel. He'll give you a free estimate, or if you want to schedule a detail. Showroom shine every time. LionAuto.com. All right, so and I already announced next week we're going to be coming to you live from the Daytona 500, and we're going to be in the fan zone, and hopefully there'll be a little bit of crowd there, but we'll get you up to speed. So Speed Week starts at Daytona with the Sprint Unlimited this weekend, the 75-lap exhibition event involving 25 drivers. The front row for the 500 will be decided a week before the race, with the rest of the field being set following Thursday's qualifying race, which we're going to have a live report after the first duel and during the second duel live on Bob Brown's show. Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series will also run their season openers at Daytona. And so that's a lot. So all you got to do is remember back to last year. Joey Logano enters this year's race as the defending champion, the second youngest winner at the Daytona 500 in history. Only three drivers have ever gone back-to-back at the Daytona 500, and none since Sterling Martin back in 1994-1995. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished third in last year's Daytona 500, his fourth straight finishing in the top three. He's only the second driver to finish in the top three, four straight Daytona 500s, including Benny Parsons back in 75 through 78. Junior is also the only driver with more than $10 million, and that's million with a million, from the Daytona 500. Jimmy Johnson is a two-time Daytona 500 winner and enters on a streak of three top five finishes in the Daytona 500. Johnson had his fourth top five in the 500 from 2003-2006, but did not finish any better than 27th from 2007 to 2012. Interestingly enough with that, Jimmy Johnson actually enters the race as a favorite on the Las Vegas 9. Last year, Jeff Gordon ran his final Daytona 500. This year, Tony Stewart was supposed to run his farewell 500, but a back injury will keep him out of the race. And it was announced this week that Brian Vickers will be filling that seat. Brian Vickers, great guy. And actually, it was interesting. Dominic Aragon and I were talking earlier in the week, and he posed a very good question. What happens if Brian Vickers wins the 500? Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He's a great driver with a great team. But because when and you're in comes in, does that mean that he's going to get a seat? Is he offered a contingency based on winning? It's another one of those things that makes this very interesting. Is Tony Stewart going to get a waiver? Will NASCAR issue him a waiver? These are topics that we're going to be talking about coming to you live from Daytona next weekend. So make sure you tune in. Once again, we appreciate you tuning in every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. So thank you very much for tuning in. We'll join you next week live from Daytona International Speedway. This is New Mexico Motorsports Report exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Gearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine, here on ESPN Radio 1017 The Team. Join us again next week where your host David Swope will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.
1017 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.